We're going to, if our ushers will come, we'll receive a morning tithe and offering. Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing over the offering?
Lord, we just thank you here for another beautiful day you've blessed us with. Lord, pray you be with the service today, Lord. One Christ's message. Lord, pray you be with this offering. Your name be uplifted with this blessing. Once it's over, give it once in a sweet and holy name.
Amen.
Thank you. 36.
Good morning, everyone. I got a phone call last night. Good morning.
How are you?
She's the one. I got a phone call last night requesting a song this morning, so I sing it not bad last week sometime, but I'm going to try to sing it again today, and I hope you all enjoy it. Like I say, it's a little different than what I usually sing, but praise the Lord. He put it on my heart, and he So I said before, I prayed about it about three times. And Pastor said the other night, I said, made you sing it anyway, didn't he? So, okay, Ray.
And come into church and went through a series of teaching, singing, and I never will forget what he said. He said, there's only one tune that can't be changed, and he said, that's a spit tune. Thank the Lord for it. Does anyone have anything on your heart this morning? If you have your Bibles, we would turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. This is turning into a longer series than I expected, but Lord's really leading me this way of us getting us geared up to be obedient to the Lord. It's your turn. It's the series title, a message title, but it's actually a series now, but it's your turn. And this morning, as we look and as we've gone through some stuff, and I'll go back just a little bit, but it's no accident that we're in the service this morning. It's no accident that we live where we live. It's no accident that we work where we work. It's no accident we're in the family we're in. It's not an accident, not a coincidence. God has a purpose for each one of us. And if we hear this morning, God has a purpose that He placed us in the most blessed nation in the world. We are very blessed in the United States of America. We are very blessed to have the freedom that we enjoy. We are very blessed to be able to work and make the money that we make. And you might say, preacher, I don't make that much. But minimum wage is oodly gobs more than they make around the world. We're blessed, very blessed. Most in the other countries of poverty and the folks that is in poverty, the number one health issue is malnutrition. In the United States of America, in poverty, do you know the number one health problem that our folks that's in poverty has here? Obesity. Ooh, are we blessed? See, God, the Bible says that for those much is given, much is required, but when more is given, more is required. And when God blesses you, Abraham, we talked about Abraham in Sunday school this morning, and when he came out of his land, the land of Ur, he came out wealthy. God blessed him. And he, what is it? The promise? And all nations shall be blessed. When God blesses, he expects us to be a blessing. Amen. He expects it. And we hear this morning, I don't know why the Lord just keep laying this on me. He has a purpose for your life. And I'm going to go somewhere else. Can I get on one more rabbit track and then I'll go? I usually don't run rabbits, but I want one right here. And it don't... Abraham, I'm going back to Abraham in Sunday school this morning. He was 22 when God called him, right? He was 75 years old. So we're not exempt no matter how old we are. God still has a purpose for your life. Wow. Even when we're old, even when we get older, we still got a job, God's got a reason, and God's got us here for a reason. If you got money in the bank, God's give it to you not just so you're comfortable, but so you can be a blessing. If you've got energy still in the tank, you've got it because He wants you to be a blessing. Amen? He did not save us to come and take up 18 inches in a pew. I've lost some of you right there now. He didn't save us so we could come to church and gather. He saved us that we could carry the work right on that He has started back on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And it's our turn. Amen? If you would stand with me, we'll read. I want to read a verse, Exodus 3:5, and then we'll flip over to Numbers 12:3. I want to read a verse there. But Exodus 3:5. Of course, we know the story. Moses is out in Midian, and he saw the burning bush. He went to see what was going on. God called him out of the bush, and Now in verse 5 he said, and he said, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. In Exodus 12, verse 3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy and grace. God, we thank you that you have us in mind. We thank you, Lord, that you have got a purpose for us, that we're not just here by just so happen, that you have called, you have led, you have guided and directed our lives. And Lord, we pray that we be obedient and open to your leading. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We went through this, I started this message a long time ago, but when we looked at God's perception, and we seen that when God knowed who Abraham was, he knowed about him. I mean Moses, I'm still on Abraham. And we see that God sees us, and I want you to get this, and the Lord just really, the last week has really burdened my heart with this. God sees us to who we are in our potential, not who we are right now. And you might say, you've lost it. But he looks, and I want to prove this by Gideon. How many remembers Gideon, the judge in the Bible? And when the God called him in Judges 6:12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Now Gideon was now backward, but Gideon was shy. He didn't have no confidence. He was, if you remember, he laid a fleece out two different times, wanting God to show him two different ways. He didn't have a lot of confidence in himself. He was kind of, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. God saw him of his potential, of who he was going to be. When he stood there that day, he didn't have a whole lot of valor. He wasn't a mighty man in war. He wasn't a mighty man in the things of war and in the things of God. But we see that God saw him of his potential. God saw Moses as a great leader. When he looked to him and out of that bush and on his life, he knew who he was and he knew that he's a great leader. And when he looked at Moses, he didn't see a guy that slew an Egyptian. He didn't see someone that said they couldn't talk good. He saw a mighty man that would stand in the halls of Pharaoh and say, let my children go. Amen. Also, not only him, that we see he saw Saul as a great missionary. He didn't look at Saul on the Damascus Road as he told the prophet, he said, go lay your hands on him because he's going to suffer a lot of things for my name and he's going to be a great man. And he saw him as a great missionary, not as a church persecutor. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to ask you today, who does he see you as? Who does he see me as? In my life, I really don't think that he looked at me as a redneck down off of the river. He looked at me then as a preacher. Because he knew where I was going. He knew what he had called me to do. He knew the gifts that he had given me. He knew the calling that he was putting on my life. And he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt how I would respond to it. So this morning, how is God looking at you and in your and his time, how does he refer to you? Amen. See, it's your turn. It's your turn to take the mantle. It's your turn to run with it. We looked at God's perception. Also, we're looking now and in God's presence. And God's presence, and as we look in his presence, to Samson, it meant victory.
What was it when he did a great act and he would judge the Philistines? It said, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. So we see Samson, he got victory in the presence of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant, when Israel wanted to win a war, and it was very important, what did they do? They brought the Ark of the Covenant right in the middle of the battle. What's one of the first things Joshua sent over? The Ark of the Covenant. God's presence. When God was in the middle of their battles, they won. He brought victory. God's presence brought Moses victory after victory after victory. How about us? The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And if you're saved this morning and you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you've got the greatest presence of God in the universe dwelling within you. Amen. Woo! Amen. Glory! Hallelujah. And with his presence, we win the battle. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be beaten down. That we have Almighty God, the power of the universe, dwelling within us, and in his presence brings victory. Amen. Ain't you glad for that? Praise the Lord. All right, we looked last 2 weeks ago, I guess, Moses' hunger, that everyone else was running from that place, but Moses wanted to know the things of God. And then another secret of his, and we'll look this morning, is Moses' humility. Moses' humility. The Bible said here that he was very meek. He was the meekest man. He was the most humble man on the earth. And I want to get your mind this morning thinking, and I want to compare two different things. He was the most humble man, but at that time, too, he had the most spiritual authority. God even said, thou shalt be a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron will be your prophet. He had, when Moses spoke it, it was it. And in this verse here, that Aaron and Miriam had, his brother and sister, had been bad-mouthing him. And they had said here in Numbers, they had said, well, God not only speaks you, but he speaks to us too. I've got that wrote down. And I want you to catch something in this verse. And he said, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the last five words I want you to really get. I really want you to hear these. And the Lord heard it. And the Lord heard it. Boy, we better be careful what we say about God's people. Because he heard it and he brought it back to them. And of course we know the story, and Miriam had got leprosy. And the thing too about she had got leprosy, the one that was bad-mouthing, the one that was really standing up against him, then Moses prayed for her and interceded on her behalf, on the one that ran him down, on the one that was fighting up against him. He went to God then and he said, Lord, will you heal her? Will you take that away from her? God said if her dad had spit in her face, she'd have to be separated for 7 days. So separated for 7 days and then she can come back. But the meekness of Moses. Now, I've met a few, but that's not God's design. But God really, he don't like arrogance. And he normally uses somebody that is very, very humble and very meek. That is with Moses. And what ties in, and with Moses here we see the humility and the spiritual authority. When we get to where God wants us to be, in humility, He'll use us at a greater capacity. It goes hand in hand. And as we see here that it's together, we looked at the Wednesday night before we leave at how that God loved and He loved us. And if we want to be ministers of the gospel, we're to love like He loved. And this morning, God's saying, not only do I want you to love like I love, I want you to be humble like I'm humble. Jesus humbled Himself. And it was God of the universe. In the beginning was Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. He was there in creation. He's God. And He took on human form and humbled Himself and never did fight back for Himself. And went as a lamb dumb before the shearers, went to the slaughter for our souls. See, Moses submitted to God's authority. The Bible says in the book of James, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As a lot of folks that hasn't done, is submitted to the authority of God. A lot of people want fire insurance. A lot of people want things, their life, they won't go to heaven, and all these, but submitting to the authority of God. Moses submitted to God's authority. He said, Lord, I don't have much. I can't even talk good. That's kind of sound like what I told him. And I can't talk. I don't know the Bible too good. But I submitted. I said, if that's really what you want me to do, I'll preach the gospel. But now you'll have to do it because I can't. I believe when I said that, you know what he said? He's right where I want him. And with Moses gave all these excuses, and we can look at him and say he didn't have faith, everything. But he's saying, God, if it's going to be done, you're going to have to do it. And when we submit to His authority, when we place ourselves under His complete authority in our lives, I'm saying everything we do, it's under, we pray about it, we seek God's face, we seek His will, we seek His word, we're obedient to you, and when God says do it, we do it. I wish I could say the preacher's got this nailed. But it's when we submit to His authority, we're at the point of being used. Moses submitted to His authority. And he took off the old coat and he put on the new. He took off the Moses' way of doing stuff, killing an Egyptian and rising up in anger. I don't know if you know it, but Moses had some problem with anger in his life. That's why he didn't see the promised land. He got mad and warped that rock twice. Said, must we do it? And God said, you're getting... At that day, he probably wasn't the most meek man in the world. But he quit trusting in him and started trusting in God. See, and we want to trust in the things that we can handle. Now, I know you women's not as bad as us men, but us men, we want to fix it. We want to be in charge. We want to be in control. Amen? I know that I'd get an amen out of a man. We want to, it's a God-given, I don't know if you say gift or what it is, but it's instilled in man. That we're to be the providers, we're to be the fixers, we're to be... Rhonda used to call me Mr. Fix-It. She didn't call me that a long time. I used to be able to fix everything. But we want to be able to... We want to be the one everybody calls on. I mean, that's... It might probably just ego, but... But we have to put what our beliefs, our thoughts, and our desires aside... And say, what does God want in my life? I submit under this. He don't want my anger controlling me. He wants the Spirit of the Lord controlling me. He don't want lust and desires controlling me. He wants the Spirit of God controlling me. He don't want drugs and alcohol directing and controlling me. He wants the Spirit of God to control me. And that is in our lives. What is it that drives us? What is it that we spend most of our day thinking about? What is it that we spend most of our time working toward? What is it that is our goal in life? If you might put up and say, my goal in life is, you remember Apostle Paul's goal in life? And I had it and I just lost it. Well, the Lord didn't want me to share that verse. But anyway, let me get where I'm going. But God had told Moses here at the bush, he said, take your shoes off. And I know I'd hit on this earlier. But when we take our shoes off in humility, that we are saying, we are confessing of our personal defilements. As when they come before a lot of worship and pagan worship, they could not come into the house of their false idols and their false gods with the shoes on. It was a symbolic of your own sinfulness and your own pride, your own desires, your own whatever it is that we deal with. And when you took your shoes off symbolically, it was removing that. God told Moses, said, now take your shoes off. And he, when he took his shoes off, he was confessing his sins. He was confessing his defilements. He was confessing his struggles. He was confessing his weaknesses. He was confessing his lust. He was confessing his problems, his desires, everything that was bad and had him bogged down. He said, Lord, I don't need these things. And I think today as Christians, a lot of us in our churches across the land today, we need to take our shoes off, spiritually speaking. We need to kick some things off and say, God, I really don't need these. They're more of a burden than they are a help. I ask you to move in my life and to take these things away from me. God, and I confess it to you this morning. I'm kicking my shoes off. Take my life. Use me. Change me. Put me where you want me to be. And also, when you kicked your shoes off in the presence, and it showed you, it was showing that we seen our unworthiness to be in the presence of that person. And we, in humility, I'm afraid today a lot of people, we call it, it's called entitlement. We think the Lord owes us something. I carry my cross every day, preacher. We're not worthy of nothing that God's ever given us. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. I won't get in depth what that really means, but it's worthless, it's useless, it's refuse. It's just turns God's stomach. The best we can muster up makes God sick. And when we take our shoes off in humility, we come before God and we say, I'm unworthy to be here. But praise God. It's a song, I can't remember what it is. It says, I'm unworthy to be here, but praise God, I belong in the family of God. Aren't you glad of that? We're so unworthy. We're so undeserving. But glory be to God and our Savior Jesus Christ that died on the cross. We belong here. We belong in the family. He has forgotten. He has looked to past at what our past was. And he's looked toward the future. And he said, Preacher Tim, come out and be saved tonight. I think he referred to me as preacher then. I didn't hear it. But anyway, I was in my mind. He said, I know what I've got in mind for you. I know the expected end, as Jeremiah said. I know the end. I know the task. I know what you're going to do. And you're my son. And get up and act like one. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. And also, this is good. But I'm going to have to quit. I ain't even going to get through this point. And I'll quit right here. You remember when the prodigal son got out of the pig pen and went home? And he said, Dad, I am no longer worthy to be called a son. Make me as one of the servants. What was it? Remember, the father said, bring a robe, bring a ring, and bring shoes. Servants went barefooted. Children had the shoes on. But I'm thinking, when we humble ourselves and when we take our shoes off in humility, we're saying, God, I'm your servant. I'm your slave. Whatever you want in my life, I submit to your authority. Take me and use me. Amen? Did anybody hear what I said? Take me and use me. And then buckle your seatbelt on and hang on. Because that's where God wants us. I want to. When we were in Branson, we got to go see the play. It's the Sound and Sight and Sound Theater, and we got to go see the production of Samson. And I've read the whole Samson account. I've just had on my mind thinking about it, and God, I thought I was going to preach a message on that this morning, but God said in Judges 13:6, when he told Manoah and Samson's mother, he said, I will begin to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. He didn't say, I'm going to complete the task, I'll begin to deliver them. Of course, we know in the book of Judges, after Joshua died, that they all went back to their own ways and had their own ideals and forgot about the Lord, and he raised up judges, and Samson was one of those judges, and he said he'll begin to deliver the children of Israel. What if we look at Samson, what do we think about? We think about his strength, but I mean really, if you placed him as a success, I mean, it's a woman cut his hair and brought him down. I mean, he struggled with problems. He struggled with who he was. He struggled with doing exactly what God had called him to do. Struggled with his Nazarite vow. He struggled with lust. He struggled with so many things. And if we looked at him in our eyes, we would say, not a very good example of a servant of God. I mean, really, if we looked and we thought about it, and we said, what, Samson? Can I read you a verse? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and other prophets. His name is in the Hall of Fame of Faith.
If we looked at him, we'd say he's a failure. He didn't complete the task. He didn't do what God had called him to do. He failed day after day. He longed for where he shouldn't have been. He done things he ought not have been involved in. He could not be used, could not complete the task. He killed more than himself than he did while he's alive. He messed up. You know what God said to me when I just got thinking about this? He said, "You think I didn't know?" Wow. God took an ordinary man that struggled every day in his life and put him in the hall of the faith hall of fame. Anybody get that? Do you struggle? Do you fall? Do you come up short? Do you fail so many times? You get tired of saying that, having asked for the same forgiveness? Now, I'm not saying that's good, but I'm saying God will still use us in spite of it. I don't think the writer in the book of Hebrews was saying what everything Samson done was good, but he said through it all, and in spite of it all, and in spite of Samson, his biggest enemy, God still used him. God still brought judgment against the Philistines and still judged the nation of Israel for 20 years. And he trusted God and would not get his hair cut. It happened because he messed up. But he knew where the strength came from. He knew where the power came from. He knew that it was all about God, that it wasn't about him. Because what did he tell Delilah? "If you'll shave the locks of my hair, if you cut our spiritual path, we're going to fall." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you for your blessing. I'm so thankful, God, that